We are up to Os Tesh Zion. Tesh Zion, the 16th entry here in the Rebbe's diary. Let's introduce this with an observation about the Talmud. The Gemara has some very interesting passages that are called Agada. They're called, Agada means like a story. Things that are non-halachic. They teach us lessons. So one of the things that you'll find in the Gemara are recipes. Okay, yeah, I got a quizzical look. Recipes. So why would you find a recipe in the Talmud? So it's interesting. The Gemara says in Brachos that when you make a certain recipe, you only put in a small amount of chardal. Chardal means mustard, but it could also be understood. Imagine you made old original mustard. So that mustard was very sharp. It was very strong. So the Gemara says you put in a little bit of mustard. Imagine, let's say you have, I don't know, a contemporary application of this. You have a hot dog. You have some dish. You put on a little bit of mustard or harif or, you know, the fellow Avicius are on this morning, so they don't really relate to this Gemara because they put so much spicy food but the rest of us, just plain, you know, Americans who I don't have that ability to absorb so much spice, we only put in a little bit. I'm still eating the mild salsa. You know what I'm saying? And that salsa is not real salsa. It's just the Jewel brand salsa v'chule. But Rav Kook says the Gemara's recipes are there to actually teach you something. There's a spiritual lesson in the recipe. Why do you only put a little bit of mustard in? Because Rav Kook says that mustard represents sharpness, criticism. It's important to be able to be sharp. It's important sometimes even to be harsh. But how much criticism do you put into your Avodas Hashem? How much mustard do you put on that hot dog? Just a little bit. You don't eat mustard with a hot dog. You eat a hot dog with mustard. You put a little bit on there, right? When we think about our Avodas Hashem, we have to be very careful about the balance. A person who overdoes it on the mustard, they end up with a very bitter taste. Their hot dog is totally drowned out by sharpness. Their taste buds are dull, and they don't enjoy what they eat. And maybe, God forbid, they would stop eating. So that ha'ara, that observation of Rav Kook and the Ein Hayah, I think it's really important for today's piece from the Rebbe. Because what the Rebbe is going to tell us today is something that's very sharp. And we shouldn't shy away from sharpness, but we need to put it in context. Because if a person takes this entry of the Rebbe and puts it in an improper proportion, they could really damage themselves. And they could damage, you know, their relationships and their Yiddishkeit and a lot of things. So we're going to put this in context. The same way when the Gemara gives you mustard or the Gemara makes statements like this, it's put in context. It's important. We need to know this and we need to apply it, but in very precise measurements. So the Rebbe tells us, E.F. Sharlucha, it is improper, impossible for you, L'rachik es Yitzrucha, to distance your Yetzer, which we'll talk about that in a minute, Bilti without Imgam Tisna Ehu, if you do not hate him. There's a part of ourselves that the Rebbe is encouraging us to hate. What is that part? So let's talk about this for a second. There's, let's say, in our tradition, there are different aspects of klipos, of husks. Right, we've talked about this before, that there are good things, there are sparks of holiness, and they're encrusted or encased in husks that we have to break through to bring out that holiness. Some of those husks are redeemable, and some of them are not redeemable. The Rebbe is telling us that there is a Yetzirah that we have, that we have to absolutely break it. We have to absolutely hate it. We have to be angry with it, which is a very, very powerful thing. But sometimes, I think what the Rebbe wants us to know is that if we don't have that very strong and strident emotional reaction, then we will become accustomed to it. Rabbi Dr. Tversky, Zichron Levracha, what was the Yetzer Hara that he identified? The Yetzer Hara he identified was with that pernicious voice that tells us that we can't, that we're not good enough. It eats away at our self-esteem. And if we let that voice linger, it could do terrible damage to us. There are certain klipos, there are certain yetzer haras that we need to negotiate with them, and we need to talk with them and strategize what's going to be good for our development in Avodas Hashem. There are certain voices in our head that push us and they challenge us, and sometimes they make us feel uncomfortable, but those voices, they have a reason. There's something good. You know, why is that voice making me feel that way? Well, because it's afraid of something. It's protecting something. A lot of the voices that we have in our are good. These are klipos, shells that are redeemable. But then there are certain voices that they have absolutely no redemption. That black hole in a person's personality that says, you're no good. You are never going to amount to anything. Look how many times you failed. Look what you have to show for yourself. That voice, one of the ways of dealing with that voice is confronting it and hating it. And tell that voice, you're destroying my life, you're not me, and I'm going to banish you. I'm not going to listen to you because I do have value. The Rebbe Shlomo put me here, and my Yetzer Tov says, I got up this morning, I'm going to do something good with my life. It's not going to be perfect. But sometimes that Yetzer Hara is the Yetzer Hara of perfection. Some of us struggle with that. That, you know, that if it's not going to be perfect, then we're beating ourselves up. The Rebbe says we have to oppose that vigorously. Lo ratzon shelo la'ahava lo bilvad to'or b'kir b'cha. It's not just that you should be not embracing that. Rakam sina elov al shirotza la'abedcha mi'beiz olamos. You have to hate that Yetzer Hara because he's trying to take you away from two worlds. What does the Rebbe mean he's taking you away from two worlds? He means he's taking you away from Olam Haba, and he's going to take you away from Olam Hazeh, from the next world and this world. Because the voice that says that you're nothing, you're worthless, it means you're not going to bother to do mitzvos, because if they can't be perfect, then why should I try? And you're going to be miserable in this world, because we're always going to walk around feeling like we're losers, we're nothing, I'm not meaningful. The Rebbe says that voice, that Yetzer Hara, is taking away the Olam Haba that you have, and it's also taking away your enjoyment of living life every day, because you always walk around miserable. Because nothing is perfect. Life is not perfect. The Rebbe Shlomo didn't make us perfect. V'kas godol olav asher mitashtish es da'etcha v'libracha rak az yakel l'chol l'kovsho. Only if you identify it and you hate it, then you can vanquish it. Because if there's a part of you that says, you know, maybe the Yetzer is, maybe that voice is right. Maybe I should be perfect. Maybe I should have done better. Doesn't mean that we don't introspect. It doesn't mean that we don't strive. But that Yetzer Hara, which Dr. Tversky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, identified as the voice that tells us that we're not good enough, we have to identify it as Ra, as the side that's destroying our life now and our life in the next world. That's why he quotes the Gemara. He doesn't cite it, but the Gemara says, La'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov al yetzer hara. A person should be, rogiz comes from the word wrath. A person should enrage their yetzer tov over the Yetzirah. Roges v'kas, he concludes this passage. Anger and wrath. That voice that says that you're nothing, that you're a loser, it's like the klipos. We have to figure out, let's get deeper, let's get that voice talking. Is it the voice that says, you know, you could have done better, you're not doing good enough because it's afraid of something? Or is it the voice that just keeps creeping back up that says, you know, you're not worthy? And your whatever, you know, the story is, your life story isn't what it was supposed to be, and your davening isn't what it's supposed to be, so why bother? You know where this comes back to? You know, you could kind of personify this, what the Rebbe is saying that we have to hate. We could call this the Nachash HaKadmoni, the original snake. I have a beautiful book called Oshiv Mimetzulos. It's written for high school boys. There's actually a parallel one for high school young women. It's written for high school boys because adolescent boys sometimes get into things that are not healthy spiritually, and their various yetzeharas during that tekufa create sometimes very serious challenges. And by the way, this book was written before the internet, lo aleinu. So you know what the main thesis of this book is? It's teaching boys to build their self-esteem, to combat the feelings of worthlessness after they make a mistake that says, you're a loser. Look what you've done. Look what you've seen. Look where you've gone. You can't go back to learning Torah. You can't go back to davening. And he gives you the image of the original snake, of the Nachash HaKadmoni, that the Nachash says to Adam HaRishon, you're worthless now. After you ate from that, you have nothing to live for. You're a zero. The Nachash, the Pasuk describes in the Brach of Dan, is it reaches from behind us. It ensnares us, not in front of us, but from behind us. Atat teshufenu akev, the Pasuk says in Bereishis. But later, Nachash alei derech, shefifon alei orach, the snake bites you from behind. Why? Because the Sefer explains that the snake comes from afterwards, and he says, after you made that mistake, after you yelled at your friend, after you lost patience with your mother or your daughter or your neighbor, then the snake says to you, see, I told you you're worthless. I told you you're worthless. That's what the snake says. That's what the Nachash says. That's maybe why we say in Maariv, V'hasir satan milafonenu, in the Maariv davening, in the Hashkivenu, we say, God, please save us from the Satan, the Yetzirah that's in front of us, that's inviting us, tempting us to do things that are not true to ourselves, and Me'acharenu afterwards, that tells us you're nothing, you're zero. Now, this is a very important lesson, and being harsh with that part of ourselves is important, but it can't be out of measure. It's like mustard. You know, if we're constantly using harsh language, even if it's with something that's important, I think there's, what do I know? I'm not a mental health counselor. I'm not a Talmud Chacham. I don't have a lot of life experience. But I'm just guessing that even combating this pernicious voice that negates us, that tries to undermine us, it needs to be done with care so that we don't become consumed by rage, by anger. It's got to be very focused. It's got to be laser. It's got to be like the mustard. We've got to look into ourselves and listen to all the different voices and be able to pick out which of those voices that maybe they're the Yetzer Hara, but they're also the Yetzer Tov. They're trying to help us, but maybe they don't do it in the right way, versus that voice that's kulo ra, that's only trying to tear us down, that's trying to take us away, as the Rebbe said, from Beis Olamos. It's trying to make us persistently unhappy in this world and despondent, despairing, and ultimately giving up on the next world. So we've got to be tough with that. We have to be unrelenting. We have to be vigorous. We have to be bekas. We have to be angry and say, you're destroying my life. That little part that says that I'm worthless, go away. You're not welcome here.
We're going to take you out of my life. You're not part of my lexicon. I have lots of other voices, and I've got a lot of things to listen to and a lot of things to work on to grow. But that Yetzer Hara, I'm not going to stand for you anymore. Get out. Berogas with Kas. He says, only after you feel that that is totally destructive, if you identify it, if you name that monster, then we can start dealing with it. But if you let it fester, if you let it get a home, then we're never going to totally uproot it. Not all of our Yetzer Haras. You know, that Yetzer Hara that wants to have the extra guacamole or the extra Romanian hot dog, that's not a Yetzer Hara that you have to be angry with. That's a Yetzer Hara you have to negotiate. You say, you know what? Maybe we'll save it for Shabbos. Maybe we'll say an extra bracha with kavana. Ah, beautiful. Maybe we're going to make it for a birthday party for someone to make them feel meaningful. That Yetzer Hara is a good Yetzer Hara. That's a klipa that we're going to redeem. You know? Those are good. Those Yetzer Haras we want to keep. Don't get angry at those Yetzer Haras. Negotiate with them. Find a place for them. But not the Yetzer Hara of worthlessness. That Yetzer Hara we have to be berogas. We have to totally eradicate. So halavai will be able to figure out the chachma, each one of us, to understand within ourselves which of those voices we want to nurture, which of those voices we need to negotiate with, and which of them are those Yetzer Haras that try to destroy us from this world and the next, and we need to absolutely be berogas. We have to totally eradicate them. I hope you stay warm. Have a great week. Sei gesund.